Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Randy Lyman, the purpose-driven leader who is a physicist and exited founder who redefined what it means to create purpose-driven success. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Tara. So good to be here.
And we have a great and exciting topic today, but why don't we start with learning a little bit more about you and how you became a leader or your journey?
Well, I started life as a left-brain person who was really focused on learning all I could and working as hard as I could. I became a physicist and was kind of a natural engineer and a business owner. And my approach to the world was all left brain until about 1989, when I met a woman, Maria, I spent 4 years with, who introduced me to the human emotional side of being here on the planet. And it opened my eyes and changed my world.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And you know what? We have to look at the emotional side of everything, right? We're human. So,
well, we can never good emotions without dealing with the bad emotions. And
exactly.
Yeah. So, and all of it's just part of being human. There's nothing wrong with it. And when we learn how to work through it, then it just makes life easier.
I 100% agree. So let me ask you that then. Why, what moved you to go from that, you know, logical approach to embracing the more emotional approach of the EI or EQ, as people call it?
Well, my partner, Maria, who I mentioned, she was really good at pointing out when I was off track.
Okay.
So she was loving and caring, and she was real hard on me too, which was good. So if there was an internal problem within me, an internal emotion that I was projecting out on the world and was causing me problems, then she was kind enough to point it out to me until I stopped to look at it. And then right. I was lucky enough, I was fortunate enough to have a few epiphanies where when I had my own breakthroughs, then I was able to see the world around me change. And that gave me a reason to look at the world differently and dive deeper into that.
Well, that's excellent. You know, and you talked about how you made this change. Do you have any examples from either your past or your experiences where really embracing our emotional human side actually helped you or provided you more awareness around something or even just in your leadership journey itself?
Well, kind of all of the above. It definitely changed my awareness of myself and everything around me. And 35 years ago, I was very successful as a business person, but I was having to drive the business. I was having to push the business. I was demanding, and I wasn't easy to work with. So when I started making changes within myself, changing my mindset, healing my old emotional wounds around anger and disappointment and all those things that we have as humans, then I was able to see the world more through, I won't say rose-colored glasses, but they weren't mud-colored glasses.
And so that's good. I love that, mud-colored.
And so once I was able to see the world differently and see people for who they were at a deeper level, and I found ways to appreciate them and to praise them and to help them feel safe, and to help them feel that I was there to help them succeed. And people responded really well to the praise and the acknowledgement and the sense of belonging that we built within the business. And that really helped build the business a whole lot faster and a whole lot more profitable.
And so it's interesting you talk about profit and stuff. I believe the same thing as you, that sometimes we have to do the emotional approach first. But we all know that there's a lot of leaders and managers or even business owners out there that they always push for the numbers first, right? Well, it's always about numbers. So how do we get, you know, that stepping stone so that, as you're saying, we bring in the emotion so we can get better numbers, better profit?
So I try to look at everything from a balance of where are the emotions and how do they affect things? And the logical side, how do we leverage our understanding of ourselves and the world around us to get the best? So when I started to understand that the business is the best it can be when people are the best they can be, and the people drive the numbers. If we want the numbers, We have to get the people on our teams to drive those numbers. So when we involve them in some problem solving, when it's appropriate, when it's appropriate to involve them in decision making, and we actually listen to them, even if we say, hey, that's a great idea, but we can't do that. If we take the time to listen, now they feel safer to share their ideas. We get great ideas from them. They feel appreciated. And then they're not just looking out for themselves. Now they're looking out for the team. So if they support me, they have to feel is the key word. They have to feel that I support them, and they feel that based on my interaction with them. So the only way we can have a winning team and the best team possible is when all the members on the team want to be the best they can, and they feel safe enough and included and a part of the team. And that's how we built winning teams and profitable businesses.
And I love that you mentioned things like included and that they're heard because we all want our voice heard. And I had to tell people in the past, I'm sorry, that's a fantastic idea, but budget doesn't allow, but at least accepting their ideas, listening, my favorite word, thank you for bringing that up, listening to those ideas and embracing what they have to say because maybe we can't do it, but maybe there's a piece of it we can include. And so they really do feel valued at that point, right? Instead of just saying,
Absolutely.
this is the number.
And I thought that I was a good listener until I learned to pause and ask more questions. So when we talk as humans, we ping pong back and forth. I talk, you talk, I talk, you talk. And then while you're talking, I'm trying to formulate my response. Well, the people I'm talking to are doing the same thing. If I don't allow them to get all the ideas out on the table, to express everything they want to express, to even share their feelings, and we're not going to use feelings necessarily to make decisions, but we have to get those out of the way in order for people to engage with their reasonable mind. So when I learned to pause and ask more questions and let the other person talk more and be a better listener, it changed everything.
I bet it did. And I think it's really important that a lot of leaders hear that you do need to listen to your people because they need to feel that. So I'm so happy that you brought that up because it is such a huge communication piece, right? Is to really make sure that we appreciate them. Let me ask you this. Did you ever have a breakthrough because of this that you can share from your past experiences or lessons learned from, taking this, going from that logical to, the embracing of the emotional side?
Lessons learned. Well, let me just talk. I really learned to listen, if I can go back to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's key.
I was in a meeting. Well, I was first learning all these spiritual practices and emotional awareness and such. I experimented with bringing those practices into my business. And one of the first things I did was to take my teams one at a time out to dinner, and we'd talk about what's going on, how they experience me as a leader. I heard a lot of things I didn't want to hear, but I needed to hear them.
I
And
love that feedback. Yes.
I had to do it from a neutral place. Well, one of the people in my team, Bob, shared an idea, and he says, "Well, why don't we work 6 days a week?" I said, "Well, the challenge is on scheduling and such, but that's a great idea, but it won't necessarily help our customers, and it'll make more challenges for us." And then Bob said, "Okay." And the way he said, "Okay," I had to say, wait a minute, you said okay, even though I disagreed with you. And he said, yes, but you listened to what I had to say. Now, that seems really simple and really silly, maybe. But for me at that point in time, it had a huge impact in my understanding of listening.
I agree. I think that is the one thing that you have to do. And I want to touch on something you mentioned, which is asking for that honest feedback. I mean, you did it like literally, how am I doing, right? As a leader, what can I do to help you? And I think when we have those honest feedbacks too, then they also feel that connection that we need, that we're actually listening to their ideas and we take things seriously, what they say. And so gaining feedback can also help us. So what kind of questions did you ask them besides, how am I doing overall to elicit feedback that helped improve you as a leader?
Well, I had to ask them specifically, what could I have done better when you and I interact? How are you feeling? Feeling again being the key word. We're talking about actions, but we go to the feelings because they want to express their feelings because subconsciously that drives them. So I ask them, how are you feeling about our communications? How are you feeling about me being your boss? Do you feel like you're being heard? And then when they give me that feedback, I have to be willing to listen to it. So I have to be vulnerable in order to be a good leader. And people think, oh my God, if I'm vulnerable, then I'll lose respect and I won't be heard and people won't follow me and I'll look weak. But really, when we're strong enough to show up as being vulnerable, that's a different kind of strength. Because now my strength and my power doesn't come from my title. It doesn't come from my authority or because I write the budget. My power becomes the people who I work with feel empowered and they want to do their best and they bring their best game. That's how I get my power as a leader from the people who I lead. I'm here as a leader to be of service, never to be served, and to be of service. Now, when people think, well, God, I'm hearing this for the first time. Now that's crazy. I'll lose control. It may seem like it, but in reality, we gain control over where our business is headed, and we've tapped into a power we've never experienced before, which is the people we lead get behind us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes going back to your vulnerability point, we have to be vulnerable in order to be them to trust us enough to tell us what we need to hear, whether that be on how we're helping them or it be how to grow. Because, as leaders, we can have a little bit of tunnel vision if we don't ask for those things and be more vulnerable with our team. And I think that's a very key piece. We don't look weak when we do this. It's a growth mindset. Right? It's about improvement. And if we don't have to look weak for that.
So we feel like, feel again, I'm talking emotions here, even though I'm a left brain
Yeah.
scientist, the emotions are important because if I go into a situation where I'm going to try something new and I feel uneasy, the people around me will feel that. So one of the things that I push in my leadership coaching and my training is the world around us is going to respond to us based on how we see ourselves and based on how we feel when we're delivering the message. So if we come in with worry about being effective, or tension, or even concerns about something that's not related to the meeting I'm going into, people feel that tension within us and then they can't hear us. And we always want to make decisions based on logic and reason. And that's important. But in order to stay focused in logic and reason, we have to be aware of the emotional side of being human, address those things, and get them out of the way. And it doesn't take very long to do. And that creates that sense of safety and connection with the group. Because these people are spending most of their life with us, and their life and their success depends on us. And when they realize that we're here to help them succeed, they're on our side. Think about it reverse the other way. If I have some team members, employees, whatever you want to call them, who I really feel they're supporting me, I'm going to go out of my way to support them a little more. Well, what if we reverse that? And now, what if these people on our team feel that we're there supporting them? They're going to go out of their way to support us. And that wins to win, that leads to winning teams, winning businesses, more profit, more expansion, more good things everywhere. And in business, we're about success and profit. And the best way to do that is when everyone on the team wants the same thing we do.
And wants to be there. I mean, that's the other thing is that when they feel the value and they feel that they're being heard, they want to go to work every day. Rather than come do their 50% and go home because it's 5 o'clock, they give us more. They want to provide us more. And that builds profit and trust and less turnover and all of those things as well, right?
Yes, and one way we build that is through praise. And when I first heard this concept, I don't know, over 35 years ago, I thought, well, God, if they're doing a mediocre job and I praise them for doing a mediocre job, then they're going to think they're doing good enough and they're going to coast. Well, that's absolutely not true. What
No,
happens is I
no.
praise them for doing a maybe even just mediocre job in some small area of the business, and they don't hear what I said and the logic. All they heard is that I appreciate them. And they don't get that appreciation maybe at home, maybe through their family, through other jobs they have they've had. And when they feel that appreciation from me, it has to be genuine. It can be small, but it has to be genuine. And when they feel that, wham, I've given them what they need and they're looking for more of it and they're going to excel in order to show me ways that I can praise them. So it was counterintuitive for me and it was kind of scary at first, but holy cow, it's so effective.
It's very effective. I mean, and a lot of people, when they think, oh, to say thank you, I have to spend money. Not true. Go up to your employee and say, wow, thank you so much for helping me with ABC, right? Or for doing this project with so and so. I know it was a big challenge, or whatever that is. Like saying those thank yous that are meaningful to them hits the emotion in our feelings as well, and really helps with motivating us to keep going forward and even build team morale.
Yes. And one of the things I learned a long time ago, it doesn't cost anything, is carrying a pad in my pocket. That was before cell phones, we could write notes. I still go for the pad. If I'm going to interact with somebody and listen and then walk away, I'm going to interact and say, hey, do you have any projects you're doing outside of work? I want to know their name. I want to maybe know their spouse's name. I don't want to be scripted, but I want to learn a little something about them. As soon as I walk around the corner, I write down whatever it is about them. Now, I walk back either 3 days later or 3 weeks later, and I say, how's your dad doing, Stuart? How's that 56 Chevy project you're working on with him? Suddenly, they know I see them as a person, and they then see me as a person, and suddenly we can connect. And this cost me nothing. And it may sound nerdy, but they don't know what I did, and they don't need to know. And all that matters is that I cared enough. Even if I used a system, I cared enough to acknowledge them for their uniqueness, for who they am as a, who they are as a human being, and their approach to work changes.
Yeah, and connection with our employees or our peers or anybody like that builds trust, which you need in order to build an organization successfully. So, I mean, that is something that, I used to do. I actually saw a speaker who would write, told us the same thing. He had like this index card and he would write your name and then something he knew about you from meeting you, and he would keep that in case he met you again. I mean, it was phenomenal that he would do that, and I'm thinking that is the way to connect. And I learned that so long ago as well. Like, this is how we connect with people, so that when we do need to connect with them on something very serious or a challenge at work, it's much easier. Which I want to touch on that. So I want to think about, if we have a big change happening in our workplaces, this could be major system changes, it could be mass whatever's happening, mass hires, layoffs, whatever those things are. How do we get people to buy into the change using the emotion and the feeling? So let's look at the positive changes or the big changes that aren't mass layoffs, but something that, they're going to be there, big system changes coming, everybody's got to learn a brand new system, something like that. How can we use our, emotional awareness to help with buy-in to the change?
Well, first, hopefully, it's not the first time that we've brought something to them and been completely honest and vulnerable. So we've built up the rapport.
I hope so,
Now, when
Matt.
now when we show up and we say, hey, we have this big challenge and this big problem, and it's going to be tough. First of all, we want to break the ice. We don't want to pretend. We want to say, this is going to be tough and it's going to affect a lot of us. And I'd like to get your help if I can. And then listen. And when we tell people, I'd like to get your help, we're not saying we're going to do it their way. We're saying what you say is important and we're going to act like it is, because it truly is. We're going to gain some insight there, and we're going to get some golden ideas, some nuggets that we can work with. And then we let everybody talk openly, and we let everybody talk until they're finished talking. Now, somebody wants to talk for 30 minutes. At some point in time, I have to slow them down and say, hang on, I hear what you're saying. Let's come back to this. Let's give some other people a chance to talk. But when people know they can speak and we listen to them and parrot some of their what they've said back to them, not in a mechanical way, but in a caring, listening way, it may take some time for everybody to empty out. If you think you're going to do this in a half an hour, an hour, you're not. Tell them it's an hour, put aside 2 hours, and be willing to go through and listen. Now, it's going to be an investment in time, but that extra investment in time then makes everything afterwards so much easier. And when the feelings are out of the way, then we can deal with the logical, reasonable approach to making decisions, delivering ideas, and dealing with the challenges that we may feel emotionally. But when the emotions are already acknowledged, then we and the people we deal with can deal with them as adults. And then we are minds with emotion who have acknowledged our emotion and set it aside so we can talk to each other as reasonable adults to find solutions. Now, not everybody's going to respond perfectly to this, but most people will.
And as soon as you get the people who are positively responding, the others will begin to follow because we're attached to the emotion again, right? We want to follow. And I like that you mentioned something that I encourage too is, asking for help when it comes to something that's big, that's changing. Does anybody have any ideas that could help with this? Because you never know, that it could be that one person who's very quiet, sitting doing their work in the corner, who's the one that's going to lead this change. You just don't know unless you ask. So I think that also brings out that whole trust factor too, because we're making sure we're hearing them, regardless if it's going to work or not. We're letting them get it out. And some people will be upset with change. Let's be honest, there's a lot of people who just don't like it, right?
And we can't fix that, and we don't have to fix
No.
that. And as leaders, we do not have to be perfect, and we don't
No.
have to have the answer all the time. And there's something I want to mention that ties back into a few minutes ago, which is somebody told me a long time ago, it's better to be respected than liked. But it doesn't mean we can't be liked, but it is important to be respected because when we respect somebody and they respect us, they feel that respect for them. And when we like somebody and they feel we like them and they respect us, it has more impact. So respect is important, but the connection can be had without not being respectable. And when we're vulnerable, that doesn't mean we're going to lose respect. We actually gain respect when we feel strong enough to be vulnerable. Then people realize, wow, this person, like, say Randy, Randy's showing up and he's sharing some of his failures from the past. He's sharing some of his fears, and yet he's still calm and centered. He must really be strong in who he is. Because he's still calm and centered in the middle of being vulnerable.
And I think too, when we're vulnerable, it allows people to see us as being more of a partner, someone who's there to support them rather than being an authority figure that's just demand, 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 right? We're being vulnerable. We're showing we're human, just like you. We have our own set of, challenges. And you mentioned something that I love that you mentioned, and I say the same thing, is leaders don't have to know everything. We don't. That's why we have people, so we can lean on them. But we don't have to be perfect. And that is something that a lot of leaders I find struggle with, is the whole perfection thing. But we don't need to be perfect. That's why we have our people to help us and support us as leaders, as long as we're supporting them and making them feel valued and heard and welcomed, right?
And it's important for us to build and support a positive environment. So we set up the environment, we guide the tools and equipment and who's hired where and how people work together. So we're responsible for creating a great environment. But then when we engage people in helping to build and nurture that environment and help with decisions and challenges, then they'll listen to us as we continue to make changes in the environment. So yes, we're ultimately responsible. And everybody knows that. If we can be calm and centered, and people still know that. I can walk into a boardroom and be vulnerable and still be in charge. And if
Exactly.
people disagree, if people are upset, if people are ornery, I'm just still calm, I'm compassionate, I'm considerate, and I don't defend myself. And they say, holy cow, Randy's not being defensive. He must really be strong in what he believes and where he's coming from. So that's what I really want people to understand in a position of leadership. Our power doesn't come from a loud voice.
Yes, agreed. 100%. Let me ask you this. If we have some people out there who they are very logical based thinkers and they want to move into more of an emotional awareness leader, are there some, maybe some steps, just a couple of steps that you can share as beginning stepping stones to making that shift? Because it's not something that most people do overnight. It does take time, because it is a major change. Is there any like little things that they could start doing, small stepping stones to help them shift to more emotional awareness?
The best way to start is outside of work. And so when I'm away from work and I'm thinking about work, which leaders do, and even team members do, and I start to have a concern or a worry, write it down. Okay, so when I write it down, then I can do several things. First of all, it's out of my mind, it's on the paper. Second, I can start writing down solutions. But more importantly, I can say, if this doesn't work out or this problem continues, what do I feel? Now I'm safe, I'm by myself, it's me and my desk and a piece of paper. And what do I feel? And now I can be aware of my feelings and go, wow, I'm really feeling betrayed. I'm really feeling desperate. I'm feeling vulnerable. I'm feeling trapped. I'm feeling angry. Now, when I become aware of my feelings, then they're not hidden under the surface. And that's the first step, is to be willing to be honest with ourselves and to be open with ourselves about them. And then we can work on working through those feelings and emotions. I cover all this in my new book, The Third Element, which I think I mentioned is coming out in a few weeks. And I talk about a
Congratulations.
lot. Now, thank you so much. It takes 4 years to write it, to get it into a format that's fun and easy to read, that makes points from a logical point of view. It's a logical approach to how emotions affect our life. And in there, I have some exercises as to how people can work through their emotional challenges. And then once we are more clear in a place outside of work, then we can show up to work differently. And we can start to, when we're comfortable, we can start incorporating the things we're learning about our emotions and other people's emotions and our relationships. That's really key. we can start bringing those into work and introducing them one at a time as we're comfortable. And I'm actually starting a new book on this, and this is included in the corporate training that I offer as to how we as leaders can show up and be respected, be compassionate, be considerate, and be effective and drive profit.
And you know what, to sum up our whole conversation, being the human for other people and learning to welcome and value and hear others and listen helps bring in the profit that the logical side wants. It really truly does, right? I mean, when we build great cultures, the numbers will showcase. They really
Well,
will.
and it was a lot more fun for me to go to work when I had a team who liked working with me. It was a whole lot
Exactly.
better.
We
And
want to
they
go to work
watched
every day happy.
the numbers. When they understand how the number metrics are set up, and they're part of setting up the metrics, and they're involved in that, then they watch the metrics and they drive the business. And then my job's easier. And that was made a huge difference.
It made a huge difference in my corporate life, let me tell you. Let's share everything. I want to be as open book as possible. Excellent. I really enjoyed our conversation today, but I want you to be able to share with our audience how they could get a hold of you, especially when your book comes out, for anybody who might be interested in that. Is there somewhere online that they can find you or in the next few weeks, information on your book?
Yes, my website is the easiest way, and that is randylyman.com, all run together, RandyLyman.com, or they can go to thethirdelement.com. That's the name of the book and our organization and movement, The Third Element. And from there, they can find us on Instagram and Facebook. There's helpful videos. There's some resources that I share. There's a lot of great information there that'll help them have better insight as to how they can become more clear when they show up to work and drive profits in their business.
And make a shift a little bit more about the feelings, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. It was a great discussion.
You're welcome, Tara. I enjoyed it, and thank you for having me on.
A thank you to our audience as well. We hope you were able to gain some valuable information or key tips today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and community are the way to grow on your journey, or perhaps you want to learn more about our Rise to Leadership program, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.